Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show. I am your morning show host, Julie Calamine, and today I feel lucky to be joined by John Totten, who is the executive director and an instructor with Dog Smile. Good morning, John.
Morning, Julie.
Hey, it's great to have you here. I met you in an interesting way last week with another sailor who was on last week, who happened to be Jim, and I'm going to get the pronunciation right this week. Doudna, not yep. Dudna. Oh, I got it wrong, and I heard about it. Yeah. Anyway, John is a former... John, you are involved with Sandpoint Sailing Club, but you're also involved with an organization named Dog Smiles, and we're here to talk about that today. I'm so happy to have you here for that.
Thanks.
Yeah. So before we begin with Dog Smiles, could you start us out by telling us a bit about you? How did you find your way to Sandpoint?
Well, I grew up in Wisconsin, and I moved to Idaho when I was 18 years old to attend University of Idaho, and got into outdoor recreation and outdoor education and guiding pretty immediately. That road took me to Coeur d'Alene. I worked at North Idaho College in the Outdoor Pursuits Department for 12 years, and that's where I got into sailing. I left the college in 2015, went sailing full-time for a few years, and then when I came back to Idaho in 2020, I set my sights on Sandpoint. I'd been up here a lot, but I lived in Coeur d'Alene and Moscow before, and just wanted to be up here. I believe very strongly in proximity, and I want to be near the things that I like to do, and it just felt right, and so that's what brought me up here. So I've been up here for 3 years now.
Wow, that's really cool. I came from Minnesota. Listeners will know that, and I've been here about 9 years, and I have to say I have similar feelings about this area. It's good to be close to the things that you enjoy doing. That's a neat story. So your interest in sailing developed basically in Coeur d'Alene. You uh-huh. went and sailed places, came back to Sandpoint. And did you then join up with the Sandpoint Sailing Club? Is that what happened next, or what?
Well, I had sailed in Sandpoint many times before before I left, and so when I came back, it was a pretty immediate reconnection. And I came back with the intention of launching this charity, the sailing program, Dog Smile Adventures. And so, connecting with the local sailing clubs was pretty high on the priority list for obvious reasons, to get connected with who's sailing here, what are they doing. How could my organization potentially collaborate or fit in and make sure I'm not trying to do what they're already doing, and so on. So I joined the club immediately, and I'm now on the board of directors of the Sandpoint Sailing Association, and happily in that leadership team.
Yeah, very good. And also the executive director for Dog Smiles. Tell us how that came about. Where did this idea come from?
So Dog Smile Adventures is a therapeutic sailing program, and... it's quite the story. It's been in my head for a long time, but I guess the short version would be that I was working in the Caribbean, running very, very expensive yachts for very wealthy clientele, and found just kind of this empty space in my heart starting to grow, in the feeling that these people don't really need me, and that I didn't love how much my trips cost. None of my friends and family could afford to go sailing with me. And I also ran, like I say, very, very expensive machines in areas that have a lot of poverty. And so it kind of wore me down. And eventually, a lot of circumstances came into play, but decided to go out on my own and try to bring sailing to people who don't have access to it, and to try to bring sailing to people with a healing intention.
Wow. So would you say that's the mission, or is there a stated mission?
There is a stated mission, yeah. Off the top of my head. The mission is to provide healing and discovery through sailing adventures. That's the mission.
What an interesting concept. And, you know, I'm not a sailor, so I don't know if this is common throughout the U.S., but it sure seems like a great idea. Sailing can be so peaceful.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways that sailing can heal people and help them feel better. And I've worked in a lot of different modalities in the outdoors in my career. And I find sailing to be the highest octane with regards to therapeutic value that I've done. I haven't done everything outside, but I've done a lot of stuff. And because I just watch it work over and over again. But the difference with this is that it's now the intention. It was always the byproduct before. Our intentions were generally educational or from more of a vacation or escape kind of direction. And now we just come out and say it, like, we're going out sailing to feel better.
Yeah, it's kind of therapeutic.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
And, you know, you did mention this already, but sailing is often a sport that not everyone can afford to experience. You know, you need equipment, you need a place to do it. It's not always near where you live. So it's a little bit unique in that way. It's not like hiking where you can just step out of your door and go walking.
Right, right. Yeah, the access is a challenge for sure. But that's part of the reason why I wanted to do the program here is because the access barriers are much less for people that are within a reasonable distance too. We have all these lakes up here, and public access to those lakes exists. So the missing piece is just the organization of bringing people together and making it happen. We have the resources, we have the water and the boats and so on, but someone needs to make the programs happen, which is where I'm trying to fill that void.
Yeah. And as you said, it's just been a couple of years. How's it going so far?
Well, we're still in business. Is anyone listening who's ever started a business or certainly launched a charity? It's quite the tour. I'll be honest. Like, it's a lot of highs and lows, and it's challenging for sure. As you know, there are a lot of nonprofits in the area. And so we're all trying to get funding and keep our doors open and trying to do good in our own way. And but I'm proud of it. And the reality is that with the ups and downs, I always just come back to that if I took anybody sailing for free that wouldn't have been sailing anyway, then we did it.
Yeah.
And it'll last as long as it lasts. And I hope that's a long time. But if the door is shut tomorrow, that's all right, because I got to do it. And so that's kind of the space I'm in this morning anyway.
Yeah, what a great attitude. Well, let's talk a bit more about who you're attempting to help, who you're trying to work with. Who are the sailors that get a chance to experience the lake with you?
Yeah, to be honest, I really try not to limit it at all. I think that everyone can benefit from some time out on a sailboat. There are very few people who are not impacted positively by those experiences. And so I kind of do it in two ways. First and foremost, we offer programs to what we call under-resourced populations. So for example, I serve, we have a veteran sailing program. We focus on youth. We focus on foster children, people with special needs, various physical or mental disabilities, drug and alcohol addiction recovery programs. I work with domestic refuge programs, women shelters, things like that. So lots of different programs that are already serving people who need a little extra help for one reason or another. And what I do is reach out to those programs and say, hey, would some time on a sailboat fit into whatever you're doing, like all the other things that you're doing for this population? And often I've been able to make that happen. So I collaborate with other groups to get people out on boats who would not be, and also those who may be a little more vulnerable and could use that those experiences and really need it at the time. And the other side of the coin is that I sell experiences to anybody, to the general public. So you can purchase a sailing lesson, or you can purchase what I call Discover Sailing, which is just come out and enjoy it. You can buy a trip. And when I sell those trips, I tell people, when you buy one, you're buying two, one for you and one for me to give away. And that's how the pricing structure works. And so anyone who's either a local here or someone passing through, a tourist or whoever it is, can purchase a trip. And they not only get their own experience, but they get the feeling of knowing that because they went sailing, somebody else is going to go who would not have been had they not gone.
That's like a double whammy for the people who are able to pay for trips. They get the good feeling of their experience with you, and they get to help somebody.
That's the idea.
Pretty neat. That's pretty neat. Do you have concerns at times? Are there people that really couldn't be on a sailboat safely, or are you able to work with most folks?
It's pretty rare. You know, I've found, like, we've had people in wheelchairs, we've had folks with all manner of physical or mental challenge, and the reality is if you can get down the dock, you can go sailing, you know, and so if we can figure that out, and sometimes that's with lots of hands making it happen. Some people have some pretty serious fear that they deal with, like they're afraid of the water or afraid of boats. People have had past experiences that make them really not want to go. But most of the time I can work through that, you know, and it's not for everyone. That's the truth, right? Nothing is. But I do believe that the vast majority of folks, once we get them out and we ease into it, you know, we don't take people right out into heavy weather or extreme conditions or things like that. Like, we go out and take it easy. And most of the time, Lake Pendere is pretty chill when it comes to sailing. It's pretty relaxed. And when it does pipe up, we go do something else. we never have to go.
No, that's the way to look at it. If somebody's not feeling it, they can't go. But
right.
Yeah. So what does it look like when someone's feeling a little nervous? What kinds of things can you say to reassure somebody?
Yeah, well, what I've found is that, you know, the captain's attitude or way is quite contagious. And so if I'm calm, other people at least have a chance to be calm. And so really it's how I approach people, is just to be kind and let them know that there's no pressure. Like, you know, it's often new. There's, you know, most of the people I take sailing have never been. And so it's a little intimidating and scary, but I can get them out and be used to it. And as long as I'm chill, they tend to be. And we work through it. And I'm also quite aware of what I do with the boat. We can tune the sailboat to the conditions and to the people. And so I can power it down and make sure it's quite mellow until people get more comfortable. Then we can add more sail and push the boat a little harder. But initially, when we go out, we just really ease into it. I think that's super, super crucial.
Yeah, listeners, I'm looking at John Totten, and he looks very chill. He's a relaxed-looking guy, and you can hear his voice, and he sounds very relaxing. So I can imagine it would be as calm or as exciting as your we won't call them customers, but your folks would be needing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk about the types of experiences that they can discover. I see, like, at least four. Discover sailing. Let's get into that one.
Yeah, the idea with the discover sailing is just to come and give it a try. You know, see what it's like. See if you like it. See if you feel better. There's no expectation. Myself and crew can completely run the boat, and so for some folks, it's just a matter of coming out and just being there. You know, we call it therapeutic sailing, very intentionally. But it's also important for people to know that I'm not a therapist. The lake and the boat do the work. Like, so with Discover Sailing, I'm just a facilitator. We just get people out there and make them feel comfortable and safe and just let it happen. I don't do a lot. We just get out and sail along the lake, and sometimes there's long silences, and I think that's a beautiful thing. And just to let people take it in and feel the boat, and it's often pretty quiet, which is a good, you get this combination of motion and silence, which is rare. And it tends to calm people down. And so with the Discover Sailing piece, it's just come out and enjoy the ride and see if you like it.
Oh, wow. I'm feeling calmer as we're talking about it. I think that would be a great experience.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I love it. And that can be for either paid clients or
exactly.
For your folks with the need.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yep.
All right. And then learn to sail. Who can be included in that category?
Yeah, so we do a lot of instruction. You know, one of the intentions of this program is just to introduce people to the activity. And specifically through my program is to introduce people to the activity who are not going to come down and join the Sandpoint Sailing Association on their own, right? So there's, like I'm sure Jim mentioned, there's access to sailing for anybody here. You can just walk down and do it, and you don't have to join the club right away. You can come and give it a go. But not everybody is up for that. You know, you have to be in a place in your life where you have the confidence and the resources and the time and so on to go and join the club. And so I focus on those people who may not have access sailing through the open channels that are here now. And so that's where I reach out to these different organizations. And so often we can do it through a sailing lesson. So you can come out and learn to sail. So I'll work with youth groups and we'll put together a curriculum and help them learn and give it a try, which has immense opportunity for growth, especially for young people, but also for adults. I do private lessons, small group lessons, large group lessons. It just depends on the scenario, whether financial or organizational, to make it happen. But I've been teaching sailing a long time, and sailing's pretty intimidating when you first start out. There's a lot of terms, there's a lot of parts and pieces to the boat, and it's like, how am I ever going to figure this out? But I think that's the beauty of it, is that it's hard. It takes a little while to figure it out. But those who stick with it, and I've definitely got a way of teaching that I think breaks it down into a digestible bits so that people can figure it out. And then they get to learn. And the goal then is that they could possibly go do this on their own without me later, which is the best part about it.
Yeah, you know, that sounds like other sports that I've known over the years where you can learn just a little bit and enjoy it, but it's a sport that you can really grow into and learn more and more, and it becomes more enriching.
For sure. Yeah,
so yep. Sailing is one of those, understanding the wind, the terms, everything.
Yeah, it's very dynamic.
Yeah.
I think that's why part of it, why it's so therapeutic as well. It engages your mind and body at the same time, and it tends to offer a little break from your life. If you're trying to sail a boat, it's hard to be anywhere else, which is where I think the real benefit comes in.
Is learning to sail different for kids than it is for adults?
I think that no more different than learning anything else as a kid or an adult, right? The youthful brain is more elastic and it's easier for them to learn things. Whereas every adult learner I have brings decades of life with them when they come out to learn. And so that's part of what we navigate. But at the end of the day, I use a little smaller boats with the kids, but other than that, it's not that different.
Yeah. Do adults tend to be a little more scared if they're waiting to be adults to learn sailing, or what have you found?
Oh, I think it's a mix. Generally by the time someone is, a grown human of whatever age an adult is, they're going to decide whether they want to do this or not. Whereas a lot of times kids get dropped off by parents and say, you're going to sailing camp, give this a try. So it's very different. Like, an adult walks down the dock under their own accord. Not that we force children to go sailing, but the reality is that it's not always their idea. So it's a little bit different from the front end, but there's fear on both sides. All of us have had different experiences with water. I can tell right away when I have someone who's maybe had a scary boating experience, or had either personally or just observed something or whatever. And I can notice that. And then it's our job to deal with that. And like I mentioned before, we can tiptoe into it, make it okay. Sometimes with the children, I'll have them out on the teaching boat with me and they can just watch. And often they see the other kids having a great time. And then they feel like they're missing out, and that fear tends to fade, and then they'll go try it, which is cool.
That does sound cool. And I agree, when people see other people having fun, it tends to encourage them.
Yeah.
That's a nice way of doing things. All right. We've talked about Learn to Sail. How would if a person weren't in one of the organizations that you've reached out to, for example, the women's shelters or the vets, how might they get in touch with you to learn to sail?
Right through our website. So it's just dogsmileadventures.org, and there's buttons on every page to contact me.
Okay.
And even though the buttons have different names, they all go to the same place. Like, I get them all.
So, it's all you. All
yep,
right.
Just reach out.
Very good. Well, we've talked a little bit about the way folks can learn to sail. What about Dog Smile Race Team? That sounds exciting.
Yeah, we do a lot of sailboat racing with the program. There are certain populations that respond quite well to competition. There are others that don't. But specifically veterans and young adults, those two populations really tend to do well in a competitive environment. One thing that's very near and dear, though, with regards to sailboat racing with the Dog Smile program is that our motto is be nice and go fast. And it's in that order. Sailboat racing and any competition has the potential to bring out the worst in people. And in competition, folks can be really hard on each other, hard on themselves, and so on. And so it's a delicate thing to play with, but I find it to be worth it. That if we can create a very positive racing environment, we can have massive benefit therapeutically for people. Sailboat racing develops a sense of community like not many things I've ever done before. It's such a team sport, and we all want to be part of something. It's very human nature to want to be a member of a group. And so when the team does well, when we're all supporting each other, there's a lot of benefit that comes much later. It comes off the boat to being a part of something. I've had veterans come down and go sailing with us that have told me, this is the only thing I've done all week, that I look forward to this all week, to come down because I'm dedicated to this team and I want to make sure. And it's the only thing that got them out of their basement. And it's pretty heavy, but it's real. And it's not always that intense, but the reality is that being a part of something can be a great motivator in a healthy direction. So the racing is great. We race 4 days a week here on Lake Pondere, two times a week in Bayview with the Lake Pondere Yacht Club, and then two times a week here in Sandpoint with the Sandpoint Sailing Association. And then we also travel a little bit. We went over to Montana a couple weeks ago and raced in the Montana Cup Regatta in Flathead Lake. We hauled two boats over there, and it's a big deal to, if you've ever been part of a team, there's a home team and then there's a road team. The road team is like the group within the group. These are the people that are really dedicated, and they get the benefit of taking off and doing it together, which is another level. It's pretty great. And then we also put a team together and did the race to Alaska back in June, which was the topic of the film and so on with the Sandpoint Sailing Association. So we try to do some higher level stuff, but the bread and butter happens right here on Lake Pondere every couple days.
Yeah. And these things that we do competitively, but together, I think really are good life lessons. We learn how to get along well and appreciate others and understand that, sportsmanship makes a big difference, that if you want to be able to get together and do things again, you gotta work with everybody.
Yeah.
And we don't always see that. For example, in professional sports, that isn't always evident, but in day-to-day life, it's important.
Yep. It's a big deal. We hold to it very strongly. I used to race in different parts of the world and with some pretty terrible captains, to be totally honest with you, people that would yell at you and be really mean in the moment. And then the boat would get tied to the dock and they're like all hugs and kisses. And I was just like, yuck. Like were you not just there 5 minutes ago when you were in my ear, you know? And so I've made it a real effort that we don't raise our voices on the boat. We take care of each other. I believe that in competition, we all make mistakes, and those that do well are the ones that recover quickly after you make a mistake, because everybody out there makes errors, and it's not about how many errors you make. It's about how quickly you recover, and recovering quickly, the key to that is how we treat each other in that moment.
That's a real life lesson. That's not only true in sailing, but in our day to day with people that we know and love, right? You got to recover and move on.
That's the idea. Yep.
Yeah. Like it. Well, I've kind of gone a little bit, I could have been in a little bit better progression here, because we talked about Learn to Sail, and then we talked about race team, and now we're back to youth camp, which I have a feeling has a little bit more about, has to do with learning to sail also.
Yeah, junior sailing is a big part of what we're doing. So I partner with different organizations down in Coeur d'Alene. I work with the Coeur d'Alene Youth Sailing Program and also with North Idaho College to make junior sailing happen. So we do instructional clinics, and then we offer open sailing throughout the summer. And we have a similar program up here in Sandpoint, although it's different players. So we work with Sandpoint Sailing Association, provides boats and so on. And then we work very closely with the city, with Sandpoint Parks and Recreation. They offer classes through Parks and Recreation, and then Sandpoint Sailing Association does the open sailing. And what the Dog Smile program's role in that currently is the instructors. So the instructors that run the open sailing program, that's myself and my team. And so it's a, there's a lot of players, but it's important that we share these resources because we all have the same mission. And so I provide those instructors with the facilities and programming coming from the Sandpoint Sailing Association and Parks and Recreation to make it happen. I just think I've seen this so many times in my career where we teach someone how to do something, especially a kid, we show them how, and then we drop them.
Yeah.
And then they don't have access, right? If your parents don't have a sailboat and you go take the sailing class, well, way to go. Great. I'm sure you had a good time. But then if you can't go do that thing after, it's a real disservice. And so what we decided this year with Sandpoint Sailing and Dog Smile together, I was like, once you finish that class, there's got to be a way to continue sailing. And so that's what we're doing with that program, is to make sure that kids have access. My goal is to see that be like 5 days a week within the next couple seasons, so that anyone who's ever taken a lesson can come down, but they can also bring a friend. I've got my cousin in town, or here's my little brother, or whatever. We want to make sure, because we have these facilities, we're so blessed with this location. We have this public marina with beautiful boats and docks and so on. And so it just takes the programming to make it happen, because it's super easy to get to. Some of these kids, they walk down from their house, or they ride their bike. And I was like, okay, good. And it's free. That's the other mission critical piece to this, is that we encourage the families to join the Sailing Association. We will be soliciting donations throughout the community to make this program happen. And the key to that, though, is that any kid can go. Like, if you can get yourself to the dock, you can go sailing.
Yes, and that's in large part because there are sailboats that have been donated that y'all mm-hmm. can use. Let's talk about them for a minute.
Yeah, so we've had boats donated from community members or other organizations. I just got a call actually like an hour ago from a sailing school in Montana that wants to give us their boats because they're closing their doors, which is sad. But we can use that equipment to bolster our program. And we also, again, work with local businesses and private donors to keep these machines running, because they're not, sailboats are a lot of work. they're finicky, and they always need to be repaired and stored and maintained and so on. So there's a lot of costs associated with it, but we've been able to make that happen so far. And again, it's just like, not every kid should have to own a boat. Like, that's not necessary. And so if we can have a fleet of boats, and it really goes for the adults as well, if we can have a fleet of boats down there, you can join the club or be part of it. You can come down and sail once a week or once a summer, and you get to go do that without having to purchase a boat slip, insurance, trailers. Well, it adds up quickly, and you really got to be into it to justify that expense. And so we're trying to take that barrier away, the financial barrier, mainly the equipment and so on, to make it accessible for anybody in town.
So great, because that is often the barrier of getting to know a sport. And then at one point you might work into it or find a buddy that you can share expenses with. But that first part is really hard.
Yep, for
yeah,
sure.
It is. All right, you've got one more program, and we touched on this earlier, but it is the custom sailing trips. And that's for anybody too, right, that wants to hire you and get out and enjoy a day or days on the water.
Yeah, yeah, we do it all. I mean, birthday parties, anniversaries. I've done a lot of corporate development, so I'll have, you know, offices, teams that work together in various capacities will come out, and some of them we do a very formal, like team building. I used to run a challenge course and so on, so I can organize a very detailed team building experience if that's what a group desires. But most of the time it's not. They just want to go out and have an experience together in some way to connect the people. And sailing, like I said, it's quite effective for that. And so we can make it, we can lean it towards a little bit of instruction or a little more discovery, and figure it out, but I can tune it to the group and their desires, and we just use the boat to make it happen.
Yeah, that really sounds fun. That would be a fun way to spend a day with you. I'd like to know more about your team. Are y'all volunteers? Is there anybody who's a hired employee? How does it work with your organization?
It's mostly me, to be honest. So we do, I get paid a little bit to run the program. It's pretty minimal. I'm in a good place personally where I can live fairly simply, which is really the key to the castle, to be honest, to make this happen, is that I don't have to pay myself very much to make it. I have two part-time staff, one who's a professional sailing captain. So he runs a boat a couple days a week. And he also does a lot of boat maintenance for me. That's my man, Bruce. And then I've got a young fellow named Lane, who's an aspiring captain himself. This is a North Idaho College outdoor recreation student who wants to get into the business. And so he's doing a lot with junior sailing, boat maintenance. He's on the race team, just getting as much boat time as he can. The one thing I miss about working at the college is the opportunity to do leadership development. And so it's been fun with Lane and a few of the others to get them to do that through the program, mainly through teaching young people how to sail.
Neat.
And then lots of volunteers. So volunteers that help with the junior programs are key. And then people help me cleaning boats, moving boats, storage, things like that. And then I have a board of directors like every other nonprofit. There's five of us on the board, and they help me with everything mostly, fundraising, organizational development, the governance of the thing, right, to make it all happen. So I've got that board that's kicking butt, and they also are like my sounding board. As the founder, it's all on my plate. That's just the truth. But I'm so fortunate that I have this board. I can come into the meetings every once in a while and close the door and be like, okay, talk me off the ledge here. Yeah. Help me out. And they've been lovely when it comes to that. So there's a lot of people involved.
Yeah, very good. And if a person listening wanted to get involved with you, what kind of skills would they need if they wanted to volunteer?
Well, I definitely, I'm always looking for sailors. That's the obvious one. But the reality is not everybody has to be able to. Folks that want to just show up and help out with boats is helpful. I'm also always looking for media. I mean, we can't get too much. The more I tell the story, the easier it is for me to raise money. That's just the truth. Those testimonials matter. We don't have a ton of numbers. Like, I'm never going to affect thousands of people at a time. And so it's more qualitative data. So I need that face on the screen to share how this impacted them in whatever way. So we're always looking for media, writing, video, and so on. That helps a ton. And then helping with finding new connections. If anyone out there listening works with a group that think that they might benefit from coming out sailing, connect them to me. And it's a small piece of volunteerism, but it can have a massive wave of impact. I work with a program called HRC Ministries in Spokane, and it's a women's shelter that is for ladies who've been sex trafficked. And that happened through, I was standing around a campfire at one of my dear friend's mother's funeral. She had passed, and we were standing there, and I was just talking to the woman next to me. She volunteers with this program. 2 months later, we're taking sex trafficking victims out sailing. And just through this connection. And that wasn't a planned thing. I didn't reach out to them. I didn't even know that program existed. But I had this conversation. And that's how this happens, is people can say, you know what, I work with this group, or I work with that group. Or it can be down to the individual level. Like, my sister's really going through a hard time. Or whoever, or I want to purchase this for my son's birthday. It doesn't matter why, but I think the most important way that people can help is by connecting me to someone who needs a boat ride.
Yeah, what a great way to look at it. We were talking about media support and the power of testimonials, and I think this might be a good time if you had one or two to share about some success stories.
Yeah, wow, there's so many. It's been great. I think probably there's a couple. One, I work with a program called Specialized Needs Recreation in Coeur d'Alene, and they have participants with families in Kootenai County from all manner of background that have members with special needs, both children and adults. And they come out 10 weeks in a row. They come out sailing a lot with us. It's one of the biggest partnerships programs we have. And there's a lot of those kids have autism or Down syndrome, and the sailboat's like magic. It's amazing to watch what it does for these people. They come out, and the moment I turn off the diesel engine, it's like they arrive. Their eyes open, they sit up, and they get to be there. And so for people with sensory issues, the sailboat is quite effective. They get that motion. They get to go fast and they get to feel the boat move. So there's a lot of tactical or tactile engagement without the noise. And so it's a lot of fun. They get that sense of control and speed in this big boat. And then there's the community side of it too. They get to go out and do it together. And so they have a lot of fun with it. That's one of my favorite programs. The other one that I would share is, I had a friend of mine whose sister has MS and has just constant pain, physical pain, and it's affected every part of her life. And he said, I don't know if she would never buy this for herself. She'd never go if I didn't make it happen. And we came out on the boat and I didn't really know what to expect. And it was really incredible to see how much the family bonded, but also to see this woman get to have some fun. Yeah. And I think that, people ask me all the time, like, why is sailing therapeutic, right? What is therapeutic about sailing? And I think that there are a lot of things that make it therapeutic, but the root of it, in my opinion, is that it holds you in the moment. Most of my suffering happens either in the future or the past. It's rarely in the moment that I'm actually suffering. And so it's in my mind. And when I'm on the boat and when others are on the boat, it holds them there. They're not thinking about the past. They're not worrying about the future. They're there because sailing's so dynamic. It engages you physically and mentally. And so it holds you in the moment. It's you don't have to sit and learn to meditate and practice being in the moment. The boat tends to do that for people. And so it's often this relief from whatever it is. And we're all dealing with something. But I got to watch that woman who, I haven't been that close to MS in my life. And it blew my hair back. I was like, wow. It affected her vision, her mobility, everything. And she came off the boat and had tears in her eyes and was like, this is the best day I've had in years, she wow. told me. Yeah. And then her brother bought it for her. So he's over the moon. I got to do something for my sister. Right. There was, so there was, it checked a lot of boxes that day.
That sounds like a wonderful day and very memorable. That was a great example of how sailing can help people be in the moment and forget about painful stuff for a little while.
For sure.
That's pretty neat. I would like to ask you if you have any events that people should know about.
Right now we're finishing up our sailing season. So we sail through September. And so there's still time. People can book a trip. They can go through the website and purchase an experience or connect me with someone in need. There's still time to make it happen this season. And then if you follow us online, we're on, Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and so on. You can see some of the stories and testimonials there. But also we'll do an online auction in late fall, late November, early December is when we do it. And it's not, I don't do the gala event. It's just not really my style. So people can log in and they can bid on, we sell experiences through our auction. So we have sunset sailing here on the lake. We have the dinner cruises. We have float house rentals. And then I charter boats in different parts of the world. So you can buy a sailing trip to, for example, this year, there'll be a couple trips in Mexico and over in the San Juan Islands. So you can purchase a sailing experience and know that when you buy that experience, you are sending people, local people here, out sailing who would not be otherwise. Yeah. So the auction's a big piece of it. But there's still time to come and book a boat ride too and connect me with people this season.
100%. And there's plenty of hot weather still ahead. And what a nice time to be out on the water. Hey, I've been remiss, John, because we started the interview and I introduced you as Dog Smile Adventures. And I didn't ask about the history of your name.
Right. Yeah, Dog Smile's been with me since I was a kid. We had a dog on the farm that used to smile. It would show all its teeth. And I always thought the dog was going to bite me. And I remember very vividly my dad being like, nope, she's just really happy to see you. And so I started making the face. I would show all my teeth and wag my tail when I was a kid. And there's all these pictures of it. And they used to call me Dog Smile. Uh-huh. And so it's something that's been with me for a long time. Yeah.
Near to your heart and now an organization that's near to your heart.
Yeah, we want to make people smile like that dog, that's just like real shaking. They're so happy.
Yeah, I get it. I've had a dog that did that. I don't know that they all do, but I've had one. It's pretty fun when they smile. If we've mentioned it earlier, but if listeners would want to get involved or book a day on the water, mention again how they would get in touch with you.
Yeah, the main conduit is through the website. So through dogsmileadventures.org, you can connect with me on various different ways there. You can become a donor, you can become a volunteer, you can sign up for a program, you can connect me with an organization, all, whatever that is, just reach out. And then we do have social media accounts that are all at Dog Smile Adventures, so you can connect that way and follow along. And we, you know, the double edge of social media is real, and we really work on trying to put some wholesome content out there so that as you're cruising through the darkness of the internet, you get a little light every once in a while, like, oh, look, there's somebody out on a sailboat feeling a little better today. Yeah. And hopefully that makes you feel good.
A nice approach. John, have I missed anything? Is there something else you'd like to mention, or should we bring this talk to a close?
I think we're in good shape. I think that the last thing I would say is just how happy I am and really fortunate I feel to be in a community like Sandpoint, and just take the opportunity to say thank you to everyone here. This place has embraced me in a big way. I moved here with very little money and a sailboat and a little trailer and with a dream of trying to pull this off. And from the outside looking in, it was like ridiculous, like really. But this community has some magic to it, and there's a lot of good here, and there's this wholesome vibe in Sandpoint that I'm very proud to be a part of, and it's the reason that this is working. I think that this could happen. There are plenty of lakes or waterfronts around the country, but there's something special about this place, and I'm just really happy, and I just want to say thanks to everybody who's helped me already, and those of you who are listening that might be able to keep this thing going, because I feel very strongly that now that I am a part of it, I want to contribute. I want to give back to this place and be a part of that wholesome vibe, and so far, so good.
Wow, that's pretty inspiring, John. And I think I'd like to take the opportunity to thank you for what you're doing and putting Thanks. All your life energy into this and just really committing yourself to it. What a great adventure for you. And it is a Dog Smile adventure. Well, listeners, we're wrapping up what's been a really motivating and interesting interview with John Totten, who is the executive director of Dog Smile Adventures here in Sandpoint. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Julie.